What must I do to be saved? You can find the study on Abide in Christ, abideinchrist.com, abideinchrist.com. Go to Sermons and Bible Studies and click on What Must I Do to Be Saved? In many parts of the world, there is a spiritual hunger, and people are asking, what must I do to be saved? Long ago, a jailer asked a religious prisoner that same question. He received a concise answer. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved, you and your household. Acts chapter 16, verse 31. A Jewish lawyer asked the Lord Jesus Christ one day the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What shall I do to receive my allotment in the inheritance of God? What can I do to obtain God's kind of life? The lawyer was asking an age-old question about eternal life. Is there a law that will give this kind of life? What can I do to obtain a dynamic, full, vivacious, abundant life? Jesus answered by asking a question. What is written in the law? How does it read to you? Luke chapter 10, verse 26. The highly intelligent religious student replied by quoting from the Old Testament. Luke quotes this response in Luke chapter 10 and verse 27. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Jesus responded by saying, you have answered correctly. And then Jesus quoted Leviticus chapter 18, verse 5, do this and you will live. You gave the right answer. Now go and do it. The religious student who was talking to Jesus became very uneasy with this response and tried to change the subject. And suddenly he was overwhelmed with conviction that he did not live up to his own interpretation of the law. He realized he was a failure. Just do it. If you would attain eternal life by keeping the law, then keep the law. Just do it. There's only one problem. Have you ever done it? Have you ever kept the whole law every day, every hour of your life without ever failing? And this is man's problem. The Lord God is holy and righteous. He expects perfect holiness. 99.99% is failure in his eyes. James chapter 2, verse 10 tells us, for whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at one point, he has become guilty of all. We all have an F on our spiritual report card. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. 1 John chapter 1, verse 10. And the Apostle Paul summarized the first two chapters of his indictment to all mankind with these words from the psalmist, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. And moreover, the Bible is clear when it says that to be saved by keeping the law requires that a person keep the whole law perfectly all the time. No exception is allowed. The law must be kept, all of it, without any omission or failures or exceptions, all of the time, 24 hours a day, all of your life. Only one person has ever kept the law perfectly. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was without sin. He never experienced personal sin. And his heavenly Father declared three times, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. No one is saved by keeping the law. Romans chapter 3, verse 20 cannot be any clearer. By the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his, God's sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Sinful man cannot live up to the holy demands of God's law. No one is righteous in God's eyes. And again, Paul gives a summary statement when he writes, there is no distinction. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. in Romans chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. The purpose of the law was to reveal sin. Romans chapter 3, verse 20 tells us, "And through the law comes the knowledge of sin." The law brings knowledge and conviction of sin. Paul adds, "I would not have come to know sin except through the law. For I would not have known about coveting if the law had not said, 'You shall not covet.'" Romans chapter 7, verse 7. In another letter, he wrote, "But the Scripture has shut up all men under sin." Galatians chapter 3, verse 22. It locked us up in prison and threw the key away. The law was never intended to be a means of salvation for anyone. Its purpose was to point out our weakness and failures and lead us to Christ so that we would put our faith and trust in Him to save us. Everyone has sinned in God's sight. There are no exceptions. All are without merit in His presence. There is no difference between immoral and self-righteousness or religious people. Why? All have personally sinned because to break the law in even one small point is to become guilty of all. If you have broken the law, even so slightly, you have broken the law completely and are guilty. And therefore, all have fallen short of God's expectations. The Apostle Paul has taken pains to define and explain the fact of universal sin in Romans chapters 1 and 2. Our personal sins give evidence to the fact that no one measures up to the righteousness of God. Everyone comes up short without the glory of God. God's glory is the measure of His righteousness, and we are lacking in divine righteousness and therefore void of His glory. Martin Luther said, "Men are altogether without any virtue in which they might glory. All mankind has universally fallen short of God's glory. And man lacks the righteousness that God demands and is qualified as sinful." God's penalty for righteousness is clear in the Bible. God has revealed His wrath against all sinners. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, in Romans chapter 1, verse 18. In fact, we are storing up the wrath of God on our part for judgment day, according to Romans chapter 2, verse 5. We can't blame God or anyone else because we are the ones who are guilty. God has given us up to fulfill our sinful pleasure. And this is clear in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. He has given us up to self-destruction. We are worthy of death. The wages of sin is death. We are without excuse. We are all under sin and all guilty before God. We are accountable to God for our attitudes and actions. It's a fair statement that we are all enemies of God, according to Romans chapter 5, verse 10. Man in his sinful state is hostile to God. He is a rebel at heart. And the wrath of God is His settled opposition to all that is evil. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. It is His very nature to be opposed to all evil. God abhors evil. He hates evil. God is opposed to sin, and sin separates God and man and causes enmity. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides against him, in John chapter 3, verse 36. However, the good news is that God's holy wrath against sin is satisfied by the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the sinner's behalf. And throughout the recorded history, man has tried to build bridges to God by means of good works. All of his bridges have ended in failure. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Becomes, how in the world can I do it? I can't. all that sinful man can do is come and cast himself upon the mercy of God. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And this is why God has made the great provision for man. What man cannot do, God has done in his grace. How can a man become righteous before God? How righteous do I have to be good enough to please God? Am I righteous enough? And as we have just seen in the opening chapters of Romans, no one is righteous enough to please God. The Bible says there's only one way we can become righteous. God has to provide that righteousness he demands because we cannot do it in ourselves. God's requirement for obedience is so great that none of us can ever live up to it. We've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. The high cost of spiritual failure is death, spiritual death, separation from the Lord God. Our attempts to keep the law perfectly ourselves as a means of salvation has been entirely set aside because another person has rendered this perfect obedience to the law on our behalf. God doesn't leave it up to us to satisfy the law because by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The Lord Jesus Christ saves us by keeping the law for us. The Lord Jesus has satisfied the law and kept it perfectly. The good news is that perfect obedience that God requires has been obtained by Jesus Christ. And in that sense, we are saved by obedience. Through the obedience of the one, Jesus Christ, the many will be made righteous. Romans chapter 5, verse 19. The obedience to the law that God requires, setting us right with him, is the work that God himself accepted in Christ on the cross. We stand right before God because of that perfect obedience that Jesus Christ performed for us. We cannot supplement it, improve on it, or add anything to it. The work of salvation was completely finished once and for all by Jesus Christ on the cross. God receives all sinners who repent and put their trust in Jesus Christ to save them. We're justified through faith and not through any works or obedience on our part. And even simple faith in Christ's work is not a work we perform. God creates that faith in our heart. To believe on Christ is to receive God's free gift of eternal life. And you cannot do anything to set your heart right with God. God has already done all that needs to be done in the perfect obedience of Jesus Christ. All you can do is receive this salvation or eternal life by trusting God's message that you are accepted in Christ alone. We are saved by grace through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. We're not saved by grace through obedience. We're not saved by grace through baptism, or church membership, or speaking in tongues, or any other religious thing. Faith is not something we do as if the emphasis was on a special kind of emotion. We are saved by trusting ourselves to what God has already done for us when Jesus went to the cross and died for all of our sins and rose from the dead. The believer can know he is a child of God because he is not resting on any righteousness of his own, but his righteousness is in Jesus Christ. God has put his righteousness to the account of the believer. And the Christians say, Christ is my righteousness. God's solution is his own imputed righteousness. The Bible is clear that no one may gain a right standing before God through good works because sin contaminates all. Romans chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. When man stands before God, he is neither righteous nor able to perform righteous deeds that will satisfy God. All our righteousness are as filthy rags before the Lord God, said Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. We deceive ourselves when we think that we are good enough to please Him. Jeremiah said it clearly in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? The Apostle John was just as clear when he wrote, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. God provides a righteousness that pleases him. It is apart from the law. We do not get any help from the law. It only points his finger and says, you are guilty. You're a failure. You cannot live up to my righteous demands. And all attempts to live up to the law only proves our repeated failures. All acceptable righteousness is apart from the law. It is separated from us without making use of or without connection to the law. Man cannot be made right with God by good works. However, God has made it possible for man to be justified in his sight by faith in Jesus Christ. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. Romans chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. God makes it possible for all people to be declared right before God by faith in Jesus Christ. How does God's righteousness come to me? It's by faith in Jesus Christ and to all and upon all them that believe. Faith is trusting in Jesus Christ and what He has done on our behalf for our salvation. The righteousness of God is by faith in Jesus Christ. Is it a cheap righteousness? Definitely not. It is the most expensive righteousness ever conceived. It's pure and holy. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, obtained the righteousness for us through His death for our sins. It is the only kind of righteousness that God will accept. It is a righteous standing before God. It is God's gift to sinful man. Now what the law could not do because it was weak, God through His Son Jesus Christ did it. He did it apart from the law. It is without making use of the law. We need the righteousness totally outside of ourselves, and we cannot produce it within ourselves. It is out of our reach. And God imputes His righteousness as a gift to the believer. Imputed righteousness is God's kind of righteousness and is fully compatible with His holy character. It is a righteousness of God, not man. God originates it. God provides it. How does sinful man obtain it? God gives His righteousness to all who believe. God credits the righteousness of Jesus Christ to the account of the believer. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 3, verses 22 and 24, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Zane Hodge reminds us, and through justification, we acquire the very righteousness of God, which is credited to us on the basis of faith alone. Through regeneration, we acquire the very life of God, which is imparted to us likewise on the basis of faith alone. So therefore, in a moment of time, we obtain both perfect acceptance before the bar of God's justice, as well as full membership in His family. In his letter to the Philippians, Paul contrasts his attempt through the law-keeping and ended in failure. And that which is through faith in Jesus Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. If anyone could have attained a righteousness apart from the law, it was the Jewish rabbi, Paul. Clearly, no one has ever received imputed righteousness by fulfilling the law. Imputed righteousness comes by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. And the only righteousness that satisfies God's holy demands is imputed righteousness. It is the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. It's being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. The very God whom we offended has Himself provided the substitute for us. He has set forth His own Son as the propitiation for our sins. He has borne our sin and our guilt. Jesus was at the same time the sacrifice for our sins and the great high priest who offered Himself for the sinner. Note carefully, this sacrifice of Jesus Christ does not automatically cover everyone. It applies only to those who put their faith in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 3, verses 24 and 25 tells us we are justified freely by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through faith. The death of Jesus Christ is the means whereby the wrath of God has been turned back from sinful man. His blood means a sacrificial death has taken place. His life has been poured out as a sacrifice for sin. His shed blood is positive proof that a death has taken place. It is a life given up in the place of another. God is the offended person who propitiates Himself by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. D.M. Lloyd-Jones well said, "The very God whom we have offended has Himself provided the way whereby the offense has been dealt with. His anger, His wrath against sin and the sinner has been satisfied, appeased, and He therefore can now thus reconcile man to Himself." It is the blood of Jesus that secures everything. He is a propitiation through the faith in His blood. And this is the only reason why the Apostle Paul can say, "The righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all of them that believe." Faith is the means whereby we receive or we appropriate the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. God demands a perfect righteousness, and nothing less can be accepted. The very moment the sinful man attempts to add one touch to the righteousness of Christ, he spoils it. The touch of sinful man contaminates the righteousness of God. So therefore, it must be accepted by faith in Jesus Christ alone. It is by faith alone in Christ alone that the sinner takes refuge in Jesus Christ. You can have eternal life right now, this very moment. Let's suppose for a moment that I died tonight and stood before the Lord God, who is the supreme judge of the universe, and no doubt He would ask, "Will Pounds, why should I let you into my heaven? You're a guilty sinner. How do you plead?" And my response would be, "I plead guilty, Your Honor." My advocate, Jesus Christ, who is standing there beside me, speaks up and he says, "Your Honor, it is true Will Pounds is a grievous sinner. He's guilty. He deserves eternal punishment for his sinfulness. However, Father, I died for him on the cross and rose from the dead. Will Pounds has put his faith and trust in me and all that I have done for him on the cross. He is a believer. I died for him, and he has accepted me as his substitute." The Lord God turns to me and says, "Is that true?" And I will respond to Him, "Yes, sir. That is the truth. I am claiming the shed blood of Jesus Christ alone to cleanse me of all of my sins. I have put my faith in Jesus Christ to save me for all eternity. And this is what You have promised in Your Word." Jesus said, "For God so loved the world," and that includes Will Pound, "that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." The Lord God responds, acquitted. By order of this court, I demand that you be set free. The price has been paid by my Son. The truth is, we are all sinners. We all fall short in our effort to attain a perfect relationship with a holy God. We need someone to rescue us and set us free. And that person has to be a substitute for us because sin requires the death penalty. We need someone who is holy and just in the eyes of the Lord God. And only Jesus Christ can satisfy the holy eyes of the Lord God. God, in His rich mercy toward us sinners, provided someone as a substitute. And the moment you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, you receive an absolutely free gift. All of your sins are completely forgiven, and you're eternally justified in the eyes of the Lord God. God looks upon you and sees you just right in His sight. God imputes His perfect righteousness to your account. And what is needed is God's kind of righteousness, not self-righteousness. He credits your spiritual account with the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. All that is required of you this day to receive the free gift of eternal life is believe on Christ as your personal Savior. Only by believing can a person appropriate the gift of God. Ask Him to save you right now, this very moment. Believe on Him and you shall be saved. To believe on Jesus Christ is to be aware of the truth that Jesus Christ died for your sins and to accept that truth and commit yourself to it. There is the element of trust, committal, obedience, and abandonment to what you believe. In faith, we receive and rest upon Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Faith is the trust in a person, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the lost. Faith is not something that merits favor with God. The essence of faith is to bring the lost sinner, dead in his trespasses and sins, into a perfect personal contact with Jesus Christ. It's not faith that saves, but Jesus Christ that saves through faith. Faith unites us to Christ. Christ saves us. If you will believe on Him, you'll be saved today. Come just as I am, without one plea, but that the blood was shed for me, and that Thou biddest me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to Thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. What is your response to Jesus Christ? He's the only one who can save. Jesus Christ went to the cross and paid your sin debt. He went to the cross and died in your place. And it's by faith alone that the sinner takes refuge in Jesus Christ. The Scripture has shut up all men under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given. It's given to all who believe on Him. You can't get any clearer than Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, where the Apostle Paul says, "A man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed on Jesus Christ, that we may be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law no flesh will be saved." Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved today. Put your faith and trust in Him right now, this very moment. May the Lord's richest blessings be yours today.